This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Saturday Magazine.
I'm excited about this because a very, very good friend of the station, a good personal friend of mine, Michael Abeid, CEO of SBS, and earlier this year, Michael got an Order of Australia medal, so he got a gong. This week, he was awarded CEO of the Year and Media Executive of the Year by CEO Magazine, and on Wednesday as well, the marriage equality survey results came out. Mike, it is a trifecta, and good morning.
Good morning, Macca and Tess. How are you doing?
Good morning to you.
Really good. Now, CEO of the Year, a huge, huge plaudit to you and your leadership of SBS, but also Media Executive of the Year. Very strong competition for that. A lot of strong competition there, mate, and you took away that gong too. You must feel really proud for yourself, but also for SBS.
Oh, incredibly. Yeah, I mean, I must say I didn't see that one coming. I didn't think I'd win one, let alone both categories. It's a little bit humbling, and of course, as a CEO, you kind of can't achieve anything at all without having fantastic people around you and a great team. And one of the things I'm really proud of at SBS is the culture that we've built over the last 2 years. And people there really, really love working there, and there's a real sense of purpose, which I think makes a big difference.
Now, one of the things you talked about, I saw an interview on Sky with you, was, the sort of strategic planning that SBS does. But there was an interesting question from the interviewer about, where SBS is now and how some people, and I'm paraphrasing here, perhaps think that that's inconsistent with SBS's charter, which I don't think it is. Would you like to tell us, why it isn't inconsistent with the SBS's charter, where you are now and the sort of programs you produce and broadcast?
Yeah, so, our charter talks about our principal function being multicultural, multilingual programming. And on the multilingual, on the radio side, we broadcast in some 70-odd languages, which is a really important part for our, migrants in Australia, the emerging communities, and indeed, people who've been here for a long time who still enjoy, listening to news and current affairs in their own language. And for new migrants, we certainly talk about Australian values and culture, which is incredibly important, and particularly when you think about things like the marriage equality results with, say, Western Sydney. And a lot of people saying, migrants aren't compatible with Australian values, things like that. That's really important for us to help a lot of these migrant groups in understanding Australian culture and values really well. And then, so I think we do that really well on radio. And on the TV side, of course, what our strategy is there is to be available to all Australians, no matter where you're from, to understand each other better and to learn about the world, learn about different cultures, different religions, and, understand our place in it, which is really important today in the world that we're in. So a lot of our programming, whether it be documentaries, whether it be foreign films, dramas, et cetera, is all about just giving you a bit of an insight into other parts of the world, which I think is really, really important. And then from time to time, and this is a deliberate strategy that we have, and it's been successful for us in the last few years in growing our audiences, is we'll still have, slightly broader English-based dramas, films, and entertainment where we can draw in a broader audience, an audience maybe that doesn't necessarily come to SBS regularly. And then we cross-promote our really charter-inspired content so that they can expand their horizons and learn a little bit more about multiculturalism. And I think that's really important, that we're not just speaking to the converted.
Mike, it's Tass here. Good morning to you, and congratulations again on those awards. Well deserved. We actually do love what you're doing here at Joy. I know lots of my colleagues here do listen in and do watch in and do really enjoy what you're doing. We've actually had a fair bit of feedback already. In fact, one of our very regular listeners has just written in and said that they love SBS and especially the content on Viceland Channel. I too enjoy Viceland Channel. In fact, we were watching something last night. Another listener says SBS On Demand is awesome. So many wonderful documentaries and films. And somebody else talked about the specific work that you're doing in the LGBTI space as well. And my call to you is to refresh that much more regularly. But still, it's fantastic to have great content there.
So, Tess, we are actually, as we, particularly in the new year, as we approach
Mardi Gras. That's what you said last time we spoke.
Yeah, we do. And so I think every month we refresh a lot of the gay movies. You know, obviously it's about what's available as well in terms of international rights and what we can buy. But, you know, even things like the SBS sexuality page. I love some of the, you know, first-person stories. We have a lot of you know, op-eds that people write about various things and experiences that they're having. And I think particularly during the marriage equality, you know, postal survey that we had, there were some fantastic stories of how people were feeling and their experiences. And I think a lot of people could relate to that. And we tried having some articles around, you know, where people can get help and how they should approach things. And you know, personally, I found it really hard as well, listening to some of the horrible comments that were being bantied about in social media. And you know, we sort of had a survival guide, if you like, up there, which I must admit I found really personally helpful as well.
Mike, this is slightly outside your remit, but one of our listeners has raised it and specifically asked that I check in with you on this. Mm-hmm. And it's really about, you know, do we believe or do you believe that the gay lobby, the LGBTI lobby, has sort of failed to effectively engage with multicultural groups? Given that, you know, if you look at the specific seats, the electoral seats where there was a predominant no vote or a low yes vote, there was a predominant multicultural mix. Do you have a view about that?
Yeah, look, I do. It is a really difficult and complex area, and it's a great question. I think the lobby groups did, you know, we had, for example, and SBS helped with translations. We created pamphlets in, I think it was about 12 different languages that we were able to give to the communities to pass out, you know, to their friends and family about the importance of marriage equality and why they should vote yes, etc. And so there was a lot of work done in the multicultural communities, but people have to understand that it's really not as straightforward as a lot of us sort of, you know, Western-minded thinking people would view it, because a lot of it is driven by culture and religion, not necessarily, you know, they're two different things for some communities.
Although sometimes really very difficult to unpack. I mean, if you look at, say, Greek culture and Greek Orthodox religion, they are actually, you know, quite, I mean, that's my background. Well, it was. Mm. I renounced being Greek a couple of shows ago.
It's like dual citizenship. He's renounced one of them.
I'm actually very angry with the behaviour of the Greek Orthodox Church, you know.
It's been terrible, actually.
It's appalling. It's appalling. Yeah, appalling.
I was talking to a Greek friend of mine just yesterday, and he was saying that he never, and he's 50-something, and he said, you know, he's never felt more rejected by his community than through the last couple of months. Yet he is a very proud Greek guy and Greek Orthodox, etc. But, you know, if I even take my own family, my parents are Egyptian, or dad's passed away, but mum's in her 80s, you know, she goes to church regularly. And she loves my partner, and she'll always accept my partner at home. But I think deep down, marriage equality was just that step too far for her, because, you know, in her religious and cultural world, it's between a man and a woman. And it's very, very hard to convince people who have got, some, you know, 70, 60 years of thinking about an issue in a particular way, it's really, really difficult. And so it's a really complex area.
However, what is really interesting about that is that if you go back to the countries of origin, I'm going to go back to Greece now because that's where my origins are from, they in fact have moved on way ahead. Greece, in fact, has had civil unions for LGBTI folk now for a number of years, and some really very progressive reforms that have come in through the most recent, I think, left government. But they are very different from the sorts of values that exist within people who arrived here, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, and whose values are frozen in that time frame.
Yeah. Look, that's really true. And I think a lot of migrants are stuck in a window when they left. I mean, you know, my parents came to Australia in the 60s, and I think some of their views are still in that time frame, whereas maybe people in you know, like you'll say in Greece, people have moved on a little bit. I mean, look at Malta. You know, Malta passed marriage equality, and Malta was a very religious country, conservative country. Many would have said Ireland, you know, same sort of thing.
Spain, France, Canada.
Yeah, the list is long.
The list just goes on and on and on.
What really gives me hope is that within some of those more conservative religious, you know, even the Muslim Chinese, the Chinese were actually very, very lobbied hard against for no. You know, in the younger generation, you're seeing a lot more people with more of what I would call Australian values of fairness and equality. So it is going to change in time. But I think if you look at it from a lobbyist perspective, going back to your caller's question or your listener's question, you know, I think a lot of us viewed Australia in two thirds. There's a third of Australia that was really pro-yes, a third of Australia that just was, you know, no matter what you did, no matter what you said, you weren't going to convince them otherwise. And the other third of Australia that we wanted to reach out to, talk to, share stories with, lobby them, and they're the ones that we tried to move over into the yes. And that's, I think, the strategy that worked, that got us to the 60%. Because if we'd spent our very limited resources, you know, very limited time. We only had whatever it was, you know, 8 weeks. And, you know, let's face it, we didn't have a lot of money in the campaign. If we spent it on that far right no side, it wouldn't have got us the result that we would have got if we put all our energies into that middle third that I talked about that were open-minded, if you like, to the idea. And so I think like any campaign, you've got to decide where you'll put your time and energy. So your listener's right in a way. We didn't engage as much as we could have, but it was about strategy and how do you win, you know.
Mike, some of the early research that I saw around this space showed that, in fact, most people didn't really care about this issue, but also most people didn't want to be seen as being wowsers. And the research was really conducted amongst some of those swinging electorates, marginal seats, usually in the outer suburbs, because we pretty much know how people in a city are going to vote. The other thing that was very interesting, and this is, I think this was quite deliberate by the government, is that the research also showed that people understand equality. So when you talk about marriage equality, people saw that as being a no-brainer. But in fact, what the government did was to actually try to poison this a little bit by going back into the sex space. So they called it same-sex marriage.
That's right.
And the problem with that is that it's not actually inclusive of our the other people within our acronym, the G's and the T's, no, the T's, the I's.
Yeah,
So actually this, whatever outcome we end up with might actually not be inclusive for our trans folk and our intersex folk. And I still see that as being a problem.
I agree. I think the language was very deliberate. I mean, I know, you know, when I go to Canberra, I was criticised personally for calling it marriage equality because that, you know, to them implied that I was biased.
Yes.
But to me, it is an issue of equality and human rights.
Absolutely.
And I would always call it, you know, marriage equality.
Absolutely.
But, you know, there is one other thing on the multicultural side that I just wanted to add. What it's taught me out of all of this now that, you know, this is sort of almost over, obviously we're now waiting for our parliament to do their job. What it's taught me is that as a community, as a gay community, you know, we have a lot of work to do to educate our migrant communities about Australian values of fairness, equality, and that, you know, some of the horrific things that I read on Facebook pages and SBS pages and things, you know, the bottom of the comments on articles in SMH and the Oz about gays being unnatural and deviants and perverts and all the things that I would have heard 30-odd years ago, it taught me that we've got a big job to do to get out there and actually, you know, educate a lot of these communities that, you know, they've come from countries where they still believe that it's a disease. I've, you know, read some horrific things about, you know, we've got to eradicate homosexuality, etc. So once this is all over, I want to be personally, you know, recharged a little bit to help educate this nonsense of what I thought we'd left behind 30 years ago. And I think as a community, you know, that's got to be something that we've got to focus on to help the community come up to the 21st century.
I'll work with you on that. That sounds like a great mission.
Tass has become a Greek again.
And SBS has got a big role to play, I think, and we're looking at how we do that editorially, just like we do when we educate people on vaccinations and, you know, any other sort of subject.
Of course.
You know, we've got a job to do there, and we will focus on that now that the marriage equality vote's over.
And I think, you know, all media organisations have that responsibility. It's something that we're always looking at Joy in terms of the diverse voices and communities that are represented. We can never do enough work on that because every person that we engage with, that we help them to understand that this is about equality. It's and, you know, at the end of the day, our sexuality, I would say to them, it's God's work. No matter who your God is, it's God's work. I just wanted to switch back.
Before you do that, Macro, I've just got to say, Mike, you've got a bit of a fan club out here.
Oh, yes, they love you.
Somebody's just written and said, what a delightful man you are. They actually don't know you, of course.
Yes. Oh, that's a bit cruel. I just wanted to swing back quickly because we've got a minute or two left. The CEO of the year and the media executive of the year. One of the things that I've seen is that, you know, the employee satisfaction with people at SBS, how happy they are working there and the environment and their ability to be individuals, their ability to, you know, do that wonderful term, good work. How do you as a leader, Mike, how do you develop such a positive working environment? I know a lot of people that work there. How do you develop and foster such a positive working environment?
A lot of hard work, definitely. But I think for me, it's about just being myself. I'm not a different person outside of work than I am inside work. And, you know, I very much wear my heart on my sleeve. But, you know, one of the things I'm really proud of with this, you know, CEO of the Year award is when I started off my career 30 years ago, I was told by my then bosses, if you come out at work, your career is over. You will never get anywhere. You'll never go anywhere. Don't tell anybody you're gay.
I remember that.
And, you know, I just, you know, obviously couldn't accept that. And I'm so proud that, you know, a lot of gay people now are breaking, you know, executive glass ceilings all over the place. And so I do feel really proud that I can be myself at work and create an environment where others can come to work and be themselves. And I think that's really, really important. And, you know, part of it is obviously being myself. You know, the management textbooks, they'll call it authentic leadership. But I think making sure that everybody understands our purpose and what we're about and what we're trying to achieve and being really clear about the direction and vision, I think has a lot to do with it in creating the right culture so that, you know, people aren't second guessing what I'm trying to do or what my objectives are, if I've got hidden agendas. There's none of that at SBS, and I'm quite proud of that. So I think that makes a big difference, that people all know where they fit in, what they've got to do, what we're trying to achieve, and very importantly, why. Why are we trying to do what we do?
I had to send, I meant to do it earlier, Ben Ryland, who was the producer of this show for a number of years and then went to work at SBS on the feed, and he's going back to the UK today, back to back to Monocle, the magazine, and their internet radio. He was very proud to have done, to have worked at SBS, and, you know, speaks very fondly of your leadership in the organisation in allowing people on every front to be themselves. So,
It's lovely. You know, just on the Wednesday when I was at the Marriage Equality, I was walking through the company and this big, burly, straight sort of 60s Italian radio broadcaster comes up to me and, you know, he's a really sort of big guy. And he just looked at him and said, "Boss, I hope you don't mind." And all of a sudden he just wrapped his arms around me, gave me this huge bear hug. And he said, "Congratulations on the Marriage Equality result. Really, really happy for you." And I just thought, wow, you know, I'm not sure how many CEOs would have been bear hugged like that by a straight guy on Wednesday. And it was something that just really talked a lot about the culture that we've got at SBS.
Now, all is not lost. There's an article on the Neos Cosmos website headed "Same-Sex Marriage, Let's Bury the Hatchet and Move On." It's an opinion piece. An opinion piece. Now, there is one here. There's a message from a listener that said, "We look forward to all the different marriages between the different faiths, between Muhammad and Mustafa and Fatima and Farah."
Wonderful.
Let's hope that happens. And look, there has. Ilias, I forgot his surname, but ex-editor of Star Observer, who spoke to us from London. You know, he's doing a lot of different communities, and people in those communities are doing work. But I think SBS plays a central role, and I would categorise it as that content is there, and, you know, the other content that in a way draws people in, so that those of us that are not used to that ethnic content are actually seeing it, because we're looking at other content as well and vice versa. So congratulations, Mike. Your Order of Australia gong, CEO of the Year, Media Executive of the Year. And, of course, should you want to, next year you and your partner are going to be able to get married.
Exactly. Look forward to calling in my husband one day soon.
Fantastic.
Congratulations again, Mike.
I've been calling my partner for 14 years. You know, the word partner is getting a bit old after
it is. Yeah. Husband sounds so much better.
Congratulations, Mike. Exactly. Awards well-deserved. CEO,
I really appreciate it.
CEO of the Year and Media Executive of the Year. Congratulations.
And big friend of this station. Thank you.
And Tess, I promise I'm going to get you a list of some new titles soon.
I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Thanks so much, right. Mike. Have a lovely Saturday.
You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
Cheers. That was Micah Bede, CEO of SBS. Very inspirational leadership, great organisation, big supporter of Joy, personally and professionally. Always a pleasure to have him on.
And as many of our listeners have said, a delightful man.
A delightful man.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.